We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The people right now, if we don't get it in September and July just fizzles out, guess what? We're not getting it in December. And that's how I feel to my core. So, you know, I woke up this morning, I read Desmond's piece, and I'm like, you're right. You guys checked me in our pre-show meeting because I didn't get all the notes to what Desmond was alluding to. But who am I to question why somebody doesn't want to play, especially when I got a dad in his 80s and he's dealing with some issues. And if I had to deal with him and be around him, he would be my number one concern. I say all that to say, Steinie, am I being negative when I say I feel like none of these sport leagues should return until we get a vaccine or we know for sure there won't be an interruption? Because I feel like we're putting these players, in all of them, in a bad spot if they choose their family over playing or returning to sports. Am I negative? Am I being negative right now, fellas? I just need to know.
I have no problem with the NBA and Major League Baseball trying to restart. I have no problem with any Major League player or NBA player saying they're not comfortable with it. So let's see how many people we can get down there to play. See if you can create an environment that's safe and basically see what happens. But I got to tell you, like, for me personally, after seeing all the coronavirus numbers spike after the Memorial Day holiday because people just had to get out, I'm convinced that the Orlando bubble is going to be as safe as any other area, or I should say as dangerous as any other area. So if a guy wants to play, go play. If not, you don't have to play, and I don't even care why you don't want to play. Could be any – you just might not want to feel like it. That's fine.
You know, and that's another thing. 888-957-9570. Do you care if – not – that's not the question. The question is, do players owe the fans or anybody an explanation for not, why they wouldn't want to play during these times? 888-957-9570. Do they owe us an explanation? Like Ian Desmond, what he said yesterday, and let's just start there, fellas, because, you know, he basically said, home is where I belong right now. Home is where I belong. He has a wife who's pregnant. He already has four kids. Baseball's trying to have a 60-game sprint. He doesn't feel like it's safe. And then also, he's talking about the minorities in baseball. You know, travel ball. You know, he's going back to Sarasota to where he played Little League Baseball to help that program out. Because he said he walked around there, saw a bulletin board, and just a schedule from 2015. And it basically made him depressed. But if these players choose not to play right now during this pandemic, I don't blame them. They don't owe me an explanation, Steinie and Guru. I get it. I understand it. I totally do. It is unprecedented times right now. There's no vaccine. So if a guy says, hey, you know what? I don't want to play. DeAndre Jordan, I tested positive for COVID-19. I'm out. You know what? I understand. Especially when a guy like Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz, who basically the NBA was interrupted after he tested positive, is still feeling effects from COVID-19 and testing positive from it. He's still feeling the effects of it. So, you know, when it comes to these leagues coming back, Guru, of course they have to come back. They're a business. It's just like Smart and Final, Safeway, the coffee shops. They got to try to come back and make money. What are they supposed to do? You know, and they're trying their best to make it as safe as possible. And I get it. May not be good enough. It may not be good enough. But what are they supposed to do right now?
Yeah, and I remember bringing up Wilson Chandler a few weeks ago. I mean, just listen to these numbers. I mean, he's made $72 million over the first 12 years of his career. $72 million. This year he was on a veteran's minimum for a little over $2 million. He'd be going down to the bubble, ostensibly, for a couple $100,000. Now, I get it. That's a lot. But I would have absolutely no problem if Wilson Chandler would come out and say, hey, guys, I made $72 million in 12 years. I'm not going down to Orlando for 3 months for $200,000 because it's not worth it to me. It's not worth it to me health-wise. And you know what? I'll look in the camera and I'll say, it ain't worth it financially. And if you want to come down my road, come down my road. But how can you come down Wilson Chandler's road? He doesn't know anything to anybody. Not one thing.
And normally, and I'm keeping it real with my boys, normally I would say a player like that, or, and again, who am I to judge? But I'd be like, oh, that dude sounds like a greedy ass. How selfish is that? But at the end of the day, what we're talking about with COVID-19 is so serious, Steinie and Bonte. And if that's what he wants to say and he were to put that out there, I promise you both, I would sit back like, who am I to say anything different? And I'll also say this, Bonte, because you brought this to my attention. I thought Avery Bradley, again, who am I to judge his reasons? But when he brought up his family and his son, I thought he quietly just walked off, got no blowback. But you say Twitter was a vile place for him, to where people were coming down his road. And again, at the end of the day, it's about family, it's about health. And these guys are risking something in all three sports trying to come back. And like I said, I know if I had to take care of Norm and he was going to be affected by what I did, I would throw, you know, the double birds, I don't know why I keep saying that, to anybody that came down my road because I wasn't coming back to something because I wanted to take care of my pops.
From the 408-408 here on the text line, I'm an essential worker. So for me, I have had to work this whole time during the pandemic. So I have been at risk, and me personally, I can't quit my job. So if these guys want to entertain, then let them. If they don't want to, then it's okay as well. But just know there are a lot of people who are business as usual through all this. And I get that. Some people like us, we have no choice but to work. But if I had a choice, I probably would do the same thing as Ian Desmond and Wilson Chandler, fellas. I would. Because, look, not only the COVID, you got the racial component. You know, I'm thinking about my girl's grandmother who hasn't been able to leave the house because of this COVID-19 and this pandemic. So I get it, man. And these guys don't owe me an explanation. But some people are selfish. Some people are selfish and they want to be entertained. But the fact that the NBA is trying to come back and baseball is trying to come back, I just think, Steinie and Goo, like, what are they supposed to do? They have to try to come back. This is their business. This is their business. Football, without any fans, is going to stand and lose $3 billion. So they got to scramble to figure out, man, first of all, how do we even get the games going on? And then two, how do we limit or soften the blow that we're going to get from this big loss that we're going to get from not having fans in the stadium? It's a weird time. So the players, to me, fellas, they don't need to explain anything on why they're dropping out. You have COVID, you have family issues, you don't want to do it because of what's going on in the country. In 2020, that's all fine. That's all fine. Go ahead. I get it.
I mean, I'm with you. This is a crazy time, and guys are going to do things that are not only self-serving, but also the thing that's important to their family. I mean, that's really what it's about. And I'm with you. No player owes me an explanation. Just doesn't owe me an explanation.
You know what, Steinie? I hear you. And Bonte, I'm going to say this because I'm going to say it from my chest, because I didn't share with you two when Lou Williams came out with the comments and me being black, it kind of just hit home to me. Like, I wish I had his number or a way I could respond to him. And I'm not saying he owes me a damn thing, but he came out and basically said to all that you guys want to get your beer, be comfortable and watch us play basketball. And when I heard that comment, I thought to myself, damn, was that just meant for people that aren't black? I mean, I kind of get where he's going, Bonte and Steiny. And again, I'm not judging him, but I wanted to tell Lou right then and there, well, you know, you got black folks, you got other minorities watching you play basketball too. So is that across the board? And if it is, can you break down you playing basketball and how, you know, a guy that's black like myself, how that would be a bad thing because I would want to see you shoot hoop. So that kind of resonated with me, and I'm still kind of, you know, going back and forth on, you know, am I wrong to want him to elaborate on that, Bonte? Because it sounds like, again, talking to you two, you know, we don't, these guys don't owe us an explanation, but when you say things not half-heartedly, but when you kind of go there to where you might be feeling like you're being used or whatnot, I would just appreciate if these athletes do that. Finish the whole sentence so maybe we can get some clarity, guys like me, on what you meant by that statement, because that was a heavy statement to me.
Well, to me, I got it. Guys are saying, go play, go play, go play. And he's like, so you can enjoy your beer on the couch and watch me entertain you while we're in a pandemic, while I'm risking my life on the basketball court. That's all I needed to see from Lou Williams. I totally got what he was saying. There's people who are like, yeah, we want you to entertain me, entertain me, entertain me, entertain me. Go ahead, go do your little, go play basketball so I can be entertained because I'm bored. I get exactly what Lou Williams, I didn't need an explanation from Lou Williams. He said it's true. Guys want to chill. They want to bring their buddies over. They want to sit on the couch. They want to bet on NBA games. But Lou Williams is like, play NBA games? What about me? What about me? I'm risking my life by playing basketball. I'm risking myself getting a virus for playing basketball. Hey, Lou Williams, he said what he needed to say. I think the comment was fine.
Well, and also, we got to understand the reality of the situation, that a lot of these guys are multi-millionaires. Mm-hmm. They don't have to play a three-month season right now. They just don't have to. And I always just liken it to you and me. If you and me and a lot of the listeners did not have financial issues, would they be working as they're working? And I think a lot of people would be not working like they're working now. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about this before the show, 10-year anniversary of LeBron James and the decision and how that was a big part of the player empowerment that we're seeing right now. And the point is that's true. I mean, the players in these leagues have a lot of power right now because they make good money and they've got clout. And they've earned that. And so they've earned the right to play or to not play, and they can make that decision on any whim or any real reason that they have to.
I'm going to say this.
No,
I'll go ahead,
Mike.
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, with what we're dealing with in 2020, and if we got the news right now, forget our jobs and forget what we do, honestly, man. If we got news right now that all three of the sport leagues were canceled, Steiny, would your day go on? How disappointed would you be on a scale of 1 to 10? And I'll ask you, Bonte, because on a scale of 1 to 10, I would be disappointed. Mine would be a 7. And it would be a 7 because, and to me, that's low because I know there's so many more important things like life that are at stake. And since we've been on lockdown in the house doing these shows in March, I've kind of tricked myself into believing, you know what, we'll wake up that one infamous day and things will get better. This virus will go away. And for a week, it looked like it had. The numbers had flatlined. And I just ask you guys now, with what you're seeing, how we're living, because it's affecting me, how disappointed would you be if there were no sports for the rest of 2020? I'm ready to accept that.
I mean, yeah, I'd be disappointed. I don't know about what the number would be, but I'm still prepared.
You would understand it, though, right, Steiny? You would understand it?
Well, I also understand why they're trying to play. You know? I understand what's going on. They're going to try to play. They're going to see if they can pull this off. They might not be able to. If they're not able to, then they're going to have to cancel the additional season. But, I mean, there are a lot of people that are like, they should just cancel it right now. Okay, I understand that. But they're not canceling it right now. So if they're not canceling it right now, all right, let's take it as far as we can take it and see what happens.
Right. And these leagues have to at least try. They got to try to get back into business. I mean, they're losing money just like everybody else is losing money. And I get it. They play in the billion-dollar club, you know, where a lot of people, they don't have a card or they don't have access to
what club?
I get it. Right. I get it. It's the billion-dollar club. It's a billion-dollar business, multi-billion-dollar business at that. Look, we would all be disappointed if we didn't get sports back. We would all be disappointed because I think about the people who work at the arena. You know, I saw Ramon Martinez over the weekend. You know, one of the security guards at Chase Center and longtime security guard at Oracle Arena. He was posting pictures. And I was just thinking, I saw it on Facebook, and I was thinking, damn, I miss those guys. I miss talking to those guys. I miss talking hoop and joking, cracking jokes. I think about those people. I think about the people who were at the vendors. They're losing money, too. They need these leagues to come back just as much as we need these leagues to come back. Or the average fan wants the league to come back. So, look, I'd be disappointed. Be disappointed as hell. This is what we do. This is what we do for a living is react to games, talk about games, go to games. I predicate my whole life around this stuff. Would I be disappointed? Absolutely. But I get it. There's bigger issues here. There's bigger issues. And what I've learned over the last 3.5 months, maybe sports just isn't that important. You know, maybe it just isn't that important. There's bigger things out there. Sports is still my passion, still my love. But, yeah, everybody would be disappointed. But we get it because of the way 2020's played out.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all playing it by ear. We're all making our decisions on a personal level, taking into account our families. And I'm not going to make a judgment on anybody who decides to play or not to play.
And, Bonte, how about this, Bonte? You tell me, because this just came to my heart right here. So if one thing we've learned during this pandemic is it doesn't matter what tax bracket you're in, you know, how much you make, what you do, where you live, how big your home is, we're all the same, and this is a scary thing going on. But just reading the room, I feel like these pro athletes – Not them saying it. It's like they're doing regular folks a favor by playing their sport. No, they're not. This is something they chose to do. They're great at it, and they get paid. But, Bonte, hearing you talk, not all the time, I just feel like, I just don't understand how the ball players are different than the people that go to Safeway and what you just talked about, the essential people that risk their lives every day. These athletes aren't doing us a favor by entertaining us. They get paid handsomely, and it's their job. Yeah, it's entertaining to us, but let's not – I mean, they still got a job to do too. I feel like a lot of people now are acting like all these athletes are doing us regular folks favors by playing the sport that they do, and that's not what it's about. They get paid, just like a 9-to-5 person gets paid.
Yeah, but they not only do they play a kid's game, they're also making millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. They actually have a choice. That's the difference. They have a choice. They're making money, big-time money, money that I'll probably never see in my lifetime. They make that in a year. That's the difference, Guru. That's the difference here.
there's a lot of difference between pro athletes and you know, guys like us.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. I just don't like I don't understand kind of where all the angst and frustration is coming from when we all kind of know what's going on. We all know this is going to be fits and starts. We all know it's not going to go perfectly. We all know they may not be able to pull it off. We all know that certain guys are going to be uncomfortable playing. Like, we all know the deal. So what? I don't get what's so frustrating at this point.
Right. I'm with you, Steiny. I don't know what's frustrating either. I see the schedule get released. I see baseball trying to come back. Cool. Let's see if it goes down. But if it doesn't happen, I'm going to live my life like I live my life. I don't get the frustration either, Steiny. I really don't.
And my frustration is it comes from within. It's my fault. And it's what you guys just talked about, the schedule. Normally I'd watch a 3-hour, you know, schedule or 2-hour schedule program on TV and know that I was getting the goods delivered once the league started. And I'm just personally dealing with, man, I'm fired up about the schedule. I'm on Twitter, I'm active, I'm ready. And then, you know, you hear before you go to bed or when you wake up guys that are not going to be available for different reasons. And it's just like, man, is this actually going to get pulled out? So it's just a bit of anxiety up until, you know, day one of baseball, the NBA coming back. That's all. And then again, that 7 that I talked about, the John Elway of me being disappointed if we do finally, hey, we tried to start. It's not going to be finished. It's not going to – 2020's out the window. And I'm kind of just – I shouldn't, but I am having trouble and difficulty dealing with that and trying to process, because that could be the next phase if this thing doesn't get, you know, calm down, COVID-19.
By the way,
well, we got to calm it down. It's not going to calm down on its own.
No. That's for sure. That's for damn sure. Real quick, some breaking news from Baseball America. What has long been expected will be made official later today. Multiple sources expect Minor League Baseball will announce the cancellation of the 2020 season later this afternoon. Minor League Baseball will be canceled for the 2020 season. 888-957-9570. Want to hear from the audience on this. How are you feeling about this pandemic? Do athletes have an obligation to explain why they are not playing? Is there a bad reason? Is there a good reason? 888-957-9570. Want to hear from the audience out there right here on BSNG on 95.7 A Game. As we continue to talk about Ian Desmond, Wilson Chandler for the Brooklyn Nets, DeAndre Jordan, they have opted out of playing. Ian Desmond, and of course, with the Colorado Rockies in Major League Baseball, he's already been replaced by Matt Kemp. The Brooklyn Nets are making moves to replace DeAndre Jordan, Wilson Chandler. They may have to replace Spencer Dinwiddie as well. Do these athletes owe us or have an obligation to explain why they're not playing? 888-957-9570. And that's what's coming up here by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options, along with free pickup and delivery. Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your own vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget, the countdown is on. It's time to name Bay Area's top 10 greatest athletes of all time. Starting Monday, we want you to submit your top 10 list at 957thegame.com. Tune in all next week as each host shares their top 10. And beginning Monday, July 13th, we'll tally up the fan votes to reveal the final top 10 list. Who makes the cut? Who gets it to the top 5? And who becomes the official greatest athlete in Bay Area sports history? Get your submissions ready. The debate starts Monday right here on the Bay Area Sports Station 95.7 A Game. We're talking about the pandemic and the Orlando bubble and who's dropping in and who's dropping out. Well, the team we know won't be in Orlando is the Golden State Warriors. After 5 straight appearances in the NBA Finals, they will not be partaking in the Orlando bubble due to having one of the worst records, if not the worst record, in the NBA. I forgot. They were 15-50. Not sure if that was the worst, but they are in line to get the number one pick here. But Monty Poole from NBCSportsBayArea.com had an article earlier this morning about 5 realistic trade targets for the Golden State Warriors. 5 realistic trade targets for the Golden State Warriors. Now, he's talking about, you know, how the Warriors are spending the next 4 months addressing their needs, the present and the future. And you know Bob Myers and company will hold this top 5 pick, and who knows what they will do. Will they trade it? Will they make the pick? But he has some 5 trade targets here, and it starts with, hey, I thought of Snidey immediately when I saw the name, Guru, John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks. And Monty Poole says, why consider him? Well, he's 6'9", talented power forward, who also could put in minutes at center. He's 22 years old, should get better, has 1 year left on his rookie deal for $4.4 million. Why he could be available? Well, apparently Monty says Atlanta GM Travis Schlenk, a.k.a. Steiny's boy, who spent 13 years in the Golden State Warriors organization out of Clint Capella in February, and there may not be room for both. Collins has more comprehensive offensive game than Capella, but a contract that far exceeds the $52 million owed to Clint Capella over the remaining 3 years of his deal originally signed with the Houston Rockets. John Collins, fellas, is that realistic or not? We'll just start there.
That's a great question. And here's what I would say that we're going to have to find out. We're going to have to find out what the pandemic does to the salary cap. And I know nobody wants to talk about the details of that, and that's fine. But the reality is, all things being equal, before the pandemic, John Collins is going to be a free agent and probably get a big payday. No doubt about it. And now we'll have to see where the salary cap is, where the luxury tax threshold is. All that's a way to say John Collins to me is a lot. It's not dissimilar than the 49ers with DeForest Buckner, I don't think. They like John Collins. John Collins is a really good player. But is he a $25 million player? Is he a guy you want to invest over $100 million in for the next 4 years? And that's where you got to decide whether he is or not. And then, you know, and that's where teams say, you know what, I don't think John Collins is worth $25 million or $20 million. But I'll tell you what, there's a guy over here who we could probably get for $12 million, who I think's almost as good as John Collins. So, and I think that's what the 49ers did with Buckner. I think Buckner's better than Armstead. But I think Armstead's price point was more reasonable for the Niners. They kept the guy who might not have been the better player. They got something back for the good player. All this is a way of saying that it's not a lock that the Atlanta Hawks are going to sign John Collins to a long-term extension. It's not.
Wow. And just from a basketball standpoint, if you could get him in a Warrior uniform, I'm a fan. I think that would be awesome. He's got the age, the length. I mean, I feel like the Warriors need a guy that can do a little bit of everything. I like him. I just, you text this morning on the thread, Bonte, I'm like, there's no way the Hawks, but now here in Steiny, it's a business, man. And if somehow the Warriors could get him in a uniform, what it would cost you, I don't know. But, man, I would love to see him wearing a Warrior jersey played alongside Steph, Clay, and Dre. I mean, that's for damn sure.
The one thing that to me is an issue, man, is he's a four. I mean, he is a power forward. Can he play some center? Right. Yeah, most power forwards can now. But you're going to have two power forwards and two guys in Draymond and Collins that when they play center, it's not really their best position. So do you have enough? Is there enough? I mean, John Collins is a 30-plus minute a game player. Is there enough playing time for both Draymond Green and John Collins? That's the first question I'd have to ask myself. I'm not sure I know the answer to that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to front here and say I've watched a lot of Atlanta Hawk games over the last couple years. I have seen highlights of John Collins, and he seems to get his numbers playing off the pick and roll with Trae Young. Don't know how good he is defensively. And if he has 1 year left on his deal, then am I trading a number one pick for John Collins in just a season of John Collins? Because it sounds like he's going to be in line for a nice little payday, a payday that the Warriors may not be willing to give John Collins. Not sure if I go that route. I think he's a nice player from what I've seen. Again, I haven't watched a lot of John Collins, so I defer to Steiny and Goo on this one. But it just sounds like from a business standpoint, if he has 1 year left on the deal, what are the Hawks asking for? You know, are they asking for your top five pick this year? Then I'm not doing that. Not going to do it. Knowing that, I mean, I may not have a realistic chance of re-signing John Collins.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if the Warriors were to trade for John Collins, they would, if they're giving up something significant, then they would re-sign him. And
right.
Even though he's only making $4 million this year, you get John Collins on your team, then you get his bird rights. So
true.
Believe it or not, they could pay John Collins $25 million a year once they got him, once they got him on here. If they wanted to do that, I got to believe that John Collins is going to cost them probably their pick this year, I would think. I'm just looking at the Warriors roster.
Is that something you do?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't if I were the Warriors. But, I mean, he's a really good offensive player. He's so-so defensively. He's talented. There's no doubt about it.
Isn't he better than anything coming out to draft, though, Steiny?
Probably. No doubt about it. Absolutely.
Man. Yeah, you got to give up something to get something. So,
You trade that pick for John Collins?
Man.
It ain't going to turn around and pay him maybe 20 a year, 25 million
then,
a year?
Yeah, but then you talk about the problem with him and Green playing the same position, and it's so key, Stoney, when you say, yeah, you could play the five, but that's not their best position. I mean, you know, that's an issue right there, but damn. Dude, athletically, I watch him play, and I'm like, man, this dude, Stoney, I'll say it. I mean, the world doesn't know, but he's got all the potential to be a star in the league, man. I feel like his game is effortless, you know?
I guess Green and Collins could play together because Green's obviously a good defender. Collins isn't such a good defender, so Green could take the better player of the four of the five. I'm sure they could play together some. Could they play together a lot? I don't know. I do like the fact that the one thing I like is that Collins is an offensive player. Man. And believe it or not, I think the Warriors need one more offensive player in their top seven. But I think I don't think it's a lock that the Hawks just pay John Collins, re-sign him and pay him big money.
So, real quick, Bonte, Stoney, you kind of answered the question. So, when I would turn on the Hawks games, I'd be like, damn, they got two, to me, future cornerstones, Trae Young and Collins. So, from a basketball standpoint, has Collins did anything to justify the Hawks not re-signing him? Or it's just, again, like you mentioned, Buckner and Bonte, it's just all about the money and what they deem or direction the Hawks want to go. Because from a basketball standpoint, I don't think he's been disappointing to where they wouldn't want him to remain a Hawk. It's just about the dollars, right?
And yeah, Clint Capella.
Yeah, and they got Capella. Yeah. That's a part of it too. But, I mean, it's really simple. I mean, if John Collins might be really good. But you know what? Hawks haven't won anything with him there. And I get it. He and Trae Young are young, and I like Trae Young, but they stink. The Hawks still stink. And John Collins is their leading scorer, and Trae Young's now in his second year there. What I'm getting at is, what have the Hawks done? I mean, all John Collins has done is score on a lousy team. So you got to be careful who you're getting if you trade for him, and. You know, the guy who knows him probably better than anybody is Travis Schlenk, and he knows whether he's worth $12 million, $18 million, or $25 million. And I'll bet, and he's probably going to make a decision, you know, accordingly there.
No doubt. Hashtag random, fellas. Ozark has been renewed for a fourth and final season, 14 episodes.
Wow.
All right, 14 episodes. Wow. And how about 14? 14.
That's almost like two
how about
seasons
this one?
Now.
That is two seasons.
Yeah, right. And how about this one? Here's the one that we all are going to love. Curb Your Enthusiasm has been renewed for an 11th season. Here's a quote from Larry David. Believe me, I'm as upset about this as you are. One day,
now that is
I can only hope that HBO will come to their senses and grant me the cancellation I so richly deserve.
Now, real quick, I'll say this about you two. Last night, I love my guys, man. Talk about you two. I sent two individual texts with the same subject matter, high flying bird, you know, about the NBA lockout, and no response from either. Oh, Bonte, you did respond. Stoney didn't.
I did watch
the Climbing the Rock movie. So, but Stoney, you owe me one. So, when you get some downtime, man, just high-flying bird. David Stern is casted in the movie. It's phenomenal. It's a great Netflix movie.
They call Bird. Why? Because he looked like a bird?
Oh, man. I think of my guys, man. Yeah.
All right. There you go.
I'm going to see if I – we'll see. Okay. How about that? We'll see.
It's waiting on you. There you go. It's waiting on you.
Back to the nine.
By the way, Matt Kolsky – one of the worst basketball players here at 95.7 The Game. Just sent me a text. James Wiseman is better than John Collins. James Wiseman better than John Collins. So I'm guessing he's not trading.
How does he know that, though? How could Kolsky know
that? Okay, so Wiseman's going to come into the league and average 20 a game?
No, he's not.
Because John Collins gets you 20 a game.
Yeah, he does get you buckets. Yeah. He does get you buckets. But you just look at the contract and the upside, I guess.
Wow.
I don't know. Robert Covington.
John Collins – last year averaged 19-10, and this year's averaging 21-10. So to say that
somebody's got to rebound for that team, Steiny.
Better,
and he's still
gutsy.
A baby. Kolsky,
that's
he's
gutsy.
Still a baby. Yeah.
This is what I think, and this is without me not watching John Collins. Like, you know, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm just not watching. I've seen enough of Trae Young. Okay. I've seen him at Oklahoma. I know what Trae Young could do. Yeah. I know what he can do. But I'm not turning on League Pass to watch the freaking Atlanta Hawks. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just sorry. And somebody's got to score on that team. Somebody's got to grab rebounds. Somebody has to do it. So,
well, you're damn sure ain't watching Wiseman because you can't. You know what I mean? That's how that's strong.
But to Steiny's point, you know, you get these teams. I've heard we've all talked about this before. Like, somebody's got to score these lousy teams. Somebody's got to rebound the basketball. The Hawks stink.
Oh, man.
They stink.
You guys are tough, man.
They're awful. Awful. Like, they were worse than the Knicks. Their last game of the season,
that's
they lost
problem.
To the damn Knicks.
I'll
that is a
what.
Big problem.
When was that?
Yeah,
I'm
more focused on Kolsky saying a guy who's played three college games
that's all.
Is already better than somebody who's averaging a double-double in the NBA.
Wow.
To his credit.
I mean,
to his
I tell you what. That's Matt Red Auerbach Kolsky.
Yeah. I don't want him running my franchise, my GM.
This is what he said. I'd rather have Wiseman as a prospect than Collins for short-term gain.
That's different. Okay, That's different. That's
so
more.
So he just added that to it.
Okay, right. Thank you. He knew. What was the first one? Can you read the first one verbatim?
Yeah. Wiseman with the greater sign, Collins.
Okay. Yeah, that's not right. I'm glad he clarified. Yeah. I'm glad he clarified.
We love you, Kolsky, but yeah.
We do love you, Kolsky. Yeah. That's enough of Kolsky, though. You can listen to him at 2 o'clock. He'll get that take at 2 o'clock with Damian and Ray Rattle. How about Robert Covington? Here's another trade piece, and we could rank these in order as which one of these players are the most helpful to the Warriors in 2020, the most likely to happen in 2020, or what are the least likely to happen in 2020? Let's talk about Robert Covington. This name, this guy seems like he's been – is it just me? Or it feels like he's been – his name has floated around with the Golden State Warriors for like 4 or 5 years now. It's just been Robert Covington. Go get Robert Covington. Go get him to replace – I'm not sure about Robert Covington now, although he's with the Rockets. I'm eager to see how he plays in the Orlando bubble. He's getting wide open threes. If you get Robert Covington as a trade target – it's probably parting ways with Andrew Wiggins, right? I mean, I don't see – he's 6'7", he's 29,
I would think so, yeah.
What?
If he were on the team, Wiggins wouldn't be. And I would prefer Wiggins over Covington. And Covington ain't cheap either. I mean, Wiggins is getting
real quick,
a lot of money
2 years,
too.
Yeah, it's 2 years left, $25 million remaining on his contract.
Yeah, I think ideally you'd like to have both Covington and Wiggins, but Covington is one of those guys, Bonte, that's just Warriors, Covington, Covington, Warriors, Warriors, Covington. Problem I have is Covington's with the Houston Rockets right now. He's under contract with the Houston Rockets. So what are the odds that the Rockets are going to do something with the Warriors? To me, very, very highly unlikely.
Less than 10%. You
know, yeah, the other thing about John Collins, and I forgot, and text line – reminded, you know, the Warriors have Eric Paschal too. So that, I mean, he's a bona fide forward. So I'm not sure Collins is up the Warriors' alley, to tell you the truth.
Interesting.
Covington Goo?
I wouldn't mind him, but I don't know if he catapults this team. Like, you know, what would his role be? Iguodala? Because, you know, coming off the first one off the bench and jack of all trades or whatnot, I like him as a player. I just don't see him taking the Warriors to that next stratosphere.
Yeah, I don't know they do business with the Rockets.
I like
his game, though.
Yeah, I kind of like Covington more than Wiggins, especially at $12 million a year versus $30 million a year.
Wiggins
that's
the big
a good point.
Question mark, man. This is
a good point,
COVID-19. We got to watch
29 years
on,
old.
Man.
Covington, I got to pull up his three-point numbers here, but I feel like he's more consistent than Andrew Wiggins. He plays defense. You don't have to worry about him, really. I mean, he's going to play hard all the time. He's going to be locked in. He had a really good year with the Sixers a few years ago. Robert Covington here, pulling him up. He's now with the Rockets, shooting with the Houston Rockets this year from three-point line, just shy of 36%, just shy. Takes eight threes a game with the Rockets, makes about three. Not bad. I mean, that's a lot of threes.
He's a good defender.
Career.
Yeah, definitely a good defender, too.
Who did we have on, and I asked him about how soon the Warriors could – one of us asked him how soon the Warriors could get – oh, it was Tim Roy. And Tim Roy got me thinking, because I told you I was watching the 14-15 championship Warriors, and it was just a pleasure to watch the bench and the guys, the options that Steve Kerr had. And Tim Roy basically said he wasn't assuming Clay's all the way back. That I'll put up the Warriors starting five with anybody, even if Chris is the five. But it's the bench where it's the question mark. And right now, when you go to the bench, it's Pascal. Do you even got confidence in Poole yet? I mean, they need some. So this pick, if they keep it and get this player out the draft, ideally, if he's not a starter, fellas, he would be a guy that could be the sixth man off the bench or the seventh. Because just thinking about that, that's what ails the Warriors right now is the guys off of the bench.
A rookie is a sixth or seventh man. That's not good. That's not good in the NBA. You have a rookie as a sixth or seventh man? Oh, boy. That's dangerous.
So one of these guys in the college right now you think could give you more than Chris? I'm not saying this.
If it's
right
wise,
now,
man,
I just don't see it, Steiny.
I think Chris wouldn't have a problem coming off the bench and giving you production.
The problem is, as it relates to Wiseman, and maybe this number will change also, is if the Warriors get the – and I'm starting to think more and more they're not going to use this draft pick. Because if they get the number one pick and they take Wiseman, he's making $10 million that first year. $10 million. He becomes the fifth highest paid player on the team. Not that they can't afford it, but it straps them a little more. I think what they're more likely to do is trade the number one pick and the $17 million exception for a $17 million player. That's what I could possibly see happening. Mm. And the thing about the bench, I'm not sure the bench issue is going away. And I don't know how it can go
away. Man.
Curry makes $38 million. Clay makes 30-plus. Wiggins, Green. They don't have money to pay the bench. They just don't. They have to get guys to come in on short-term deals, on exceptions, or at minimums. Sometimes that's hard if a guy wants to prove himself.
So when I say Poole, Lee, Pascal, Steiny, and Bonte, just, you know, three guys off the bench right now that I can think of, that's not giving you exuding super confidence then, right? Those are those holes, or
what does that make you feel?
Less confident. Like this could be okay, the Warriors get out to a good start, and then when you go to the bench, these youngsters that you know, they could get it taken to them. I'm not overly confident in these guys, but I haven't seen them fail at it. You know what I mean? But it's just like a lot of the same inexperienced guy at the same time. That's where I'm going. Like, that's not a good formula.
Yeah. It's. How about this guy? How about this guy before we hit the break? And we can pick this up on the other side. It's another guy who's been linked with the Warriors for basically being from
not
San Jose.
Giannis.
Playing it. No, not Giannis. Not Giannis.
What are you talking about?
Giannis actually didn't make this. Giannis didn't make this list, believe it or not. Monty Poole has some sense here. Giannis did not make the list. But Aaron Gordon did. Aaron Gordon from San Jose, Archbishop Mitty, 6'8", combo forward. We know how well he can dunk and jump and block some shots. He's got 2 years left and $34 million on his deal. Been in the league for 6 years. 24 years old. Damn, it feels like he's 27 now.
Man.
I feel like I've been hearing about Aaron Gordon forever. But Aaron Gordon, another trade target here in Monty Poole's Warrior trade targets. What would Orlando want for Aaron Gordon? Would they want a team just to take off the contract? Would they want that number one pick? Would they want Wiggins? Is it realistic that Aaron Gordon could be had here for at least a top pick the Warriors will have in the 2020 draft?
I mean, Gordon's never been a guy who I've been able to kind of figure out. And I really don't know what he is. He's starting to make some threes, but he's athletic as heck. I know he's from the Bay. I'm pretty sure he'd love to play here. Doesn't shoot a high percentage, but
we don't need you to. Just,
yes, you do.
Oh, I thought you were talking about from three. I thought you were talking about three. Because he's falling in love with that too.
I actually think they definitely need another 3-point shooter because they don't. Because Wiggins isn't a good 3-point shooter. Draymond's been terrible the last few years. So I think one more, and I think Gordon would be good enough to be that guy. What's he shoot for his career?
30%.
Actually, see, this year he was only 30% this year. Last
year there with Draymond. Yeah, yeah.
So wow. I don't know about Gordon. I haven't. I'm not saying no, but I'm wondering. I'm wondering. See, that trade could be done. The Warriors trade the number one pick and Gordon. The trade exception for Aaron Gordon. Would you do that?
Run that back. The pick, the trade exception
for Aaron Gordon.
I wouldn't do that, Stani.
Trade exception, $17 million, and Aaron Gordon makes $18 million. So that would work, basically.
I'd probably do it. I'd probably do it.
And then where would he fit on this team? What would we do? We'd have
you find a spot for him. I mean,
okay. See,
he's a pretty good defender. You could probably go small with him. I don't know if
he can rebound with the best of them.
I don't know if he could play the small ball five. I mean, he's 30% from the 3-point line. Year before he was at 35. Year before he was at 34. So I wonder what happened this season. Why his 3-point percentage? Yeah.
You got to think if the Warriors don't get him, he could definitely be had. He could, because I don't know if the organization's like you said, Stani. What's Atlanta won with Caldwell? What's Orlando won with him? And you just wonder if it's like, man, we'll take a bag of chips for him. You know, they won't tell you that Orlando, but just kind of not start over. But if they could get, you know, that pick and the trade acceptor from the Warriors, that definitely is feasible.
I'd rather have like a guy like Jonathan Isaac from Orlando. I'd rather have him, even though he only shoots 33%.
I would too.
Yeah,
I would
too. Yeah, but that ain't happening. Yeah, I don't.
Who else you want,
Bonte? Yeah, I want the world, baby. I want the freaking world. Let's continue to roll on this. Warrior fans, what do you think about this top pick? How you feeling about the top pick? I want to hear from Warrior fans. 888-957-9570. Do you trade the top pick for one of these three players? We got two more players on the list that we'll reveal on the other side here. But we want to hear from Warrior fans about this next pick coming up. When is the NBA draft? In October? It's going to happen in October, I believe. NBA draft lottery, August 25th. So we got some time here as the Warriors try to figure out what to do with this pick they will get in the upcoming NBA draft. It's Matt Stein. It's Nerd Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.